Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me today.
Hi, team.
Okay, well, a very big development in Russia over the weekend, obviously. On Sunday evening, last night, the prominent opposition leader and Kremlin foe Alexei Navalny returned to the country after 5 months recuperating in Germany from a poisoning he blames on President Vladimir Putin. Navalny was quickly detained and could soon face several years in prison. The authorities have said he'll be held or want him to be held pending a court ruling on an effort to imprison him, possibly for 3.5 years, for alleged parole violations connected to one of two previous convictions on financial crimes charges that he contends were fabricated. And he also faces potential new charges that could result in a prison sentence of up to 10 years if he is tried and convicted on those. His detention several minutes after he arrived on a flight from Berlin and got to the airport terminal has caused an outcry in the West. He's been denied access to lawyers, at least overnight and into the morning. And there's a hearing now that is to determine his custody, at least for the time being. He'll presumably be jailed. Irina, the Russian service and Current Time had correspondents on board Navalny's flight from Berlin, which was diverted from one Moscow airport to another as police detained some of his supporters who showed up at Vnukov Airport, where it had been scheduled to land. They also shut down that airport. Now, I imagine you watched the live footage from the plane as it landed and as Navalny emerged, made remarks, and was detained before he could cross through passport control. He was taken to a police station later, although his whereabouts were unclear for several hours. What was your impression of what you saw, or what was your main takeaway?
Well, Steve, first of all, the eyes of Navalny and his wife, Julia, that was, I think, the most moving image of this flight, because the eyes were so sad, even though they both kept very calm and joked, according to our correspondents, and even laughed. But the eyes were extremely sad, and this is the glance that I think I would remember for my whole life. On the plane, Navalny didn't communicate with press, and as our correspondent said, probably because it was difficult to single out one journalist from this whole plane of journalists, actually, who accompanied him. But he... at some point closer to arrival, he was taken by the flight attendants to the back of the plane, and journalists thought that probably he was kind of there trying to separate him from the rest of the passengers. Mm-hmm. But it turned out that they took them there to take a selfie with him and Julia. So they were returning them back to their seats laughing about it. Also, when the announcement came that Vnukovo Airport is closed and the plane is being redirected to Sheremetyevo Airport, according to our correspondent, the passengers started just to laugh.
Yeah.
Because everybody understood that... it was not the problem of some snow cleaning machines, or then it was said that another airplane derailed on the runway. But everybody understood that it was just the probably the fear of the authorities and the lack of clear plan what to do, because it seems to me that up to the last moment, nobody really believed that Navalny would make this gesture, would make this step to return back to Russia. They really hoped that he would stay in Germany and the problem will be solved this way. But he took another decision, and both him and Julia Navalny were very brave and very determined to show that is their country and that's where they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the things you say are very striking about how they look, their eyes, and the footage, or I saw, I guess, a still photo of the selfie moment with flight attendants. That's quite, quite interesting somehow. And the image of passengers laughing. Obviously the state created a very large security presence at Vnukovo Airport where the plane was supposed to land, and then diverted it kind of at the last minute to Sheremetyevo. And one of the things that I think analysts are saying and observers are saying the reaction of the state authorities, their preparations for his arrival once it became clear that he was in fact determined to make the flight. They do seem to point to the idea that these leaders, the Putin, the Kremlin, the Russian government, they play down Navalny. They don't mention his name. Putin doesn't. His spokesman doesn't. And they dismiss him. I think Putin said in his press conference last year, "Who needs him?" But the security presence and other actions they've taken, I think analysts are saying that clearly points to the fact that the Kremlin seems very interested in Navalny and very, and some people say frightened of him, what his return could bring. I guess I'm not sure what this court hearing that's happening now will bring. Presumably at least his jailing, probably, for a pending hearing on alleged parole violations that could land him in prison for 3.5 years, I believe. But I guess my second question is about the future. It's obviously hard to predict, but what's your guess about how this may play out and what it will mean for Navalny, for Putin, and the Russian people?
Well, it's really very difficult to say right now what will happen. And you mentioned possible imprisonment terms. So whether it will be maximum or not, it's really, really difficult right now to say. But what is obvious is that the authorities decided not to let him out free at all, because we are trying now to understand the legality of all this, and starting from the fact that he was taken from the airport to the local police station in Khimki. And it turned out that the court that started this morning, several minutes ago, mm-hmm. The court is taking place in the police, in this police unit in Khimki.
Right.
Whether this is legal, it's very questionable. The second question is, he is accused of violations of these regulations that he had to report to the police authorities while being on parole. But the sentence was given to him in 2014. He was never imprisoned.
Right.
By the way, it was not a prison term, even though he was found guilty.
Right.
The sentence was for 3.5 years. So why do they decide to return back to this case? It's really strange. The European Court on Human Rights actually already ruled that there were great irregularities in this court, even though it didn't give it a political status, but legally, there is a decision of the European Court on the procedure of the court. So it's actually what this shows is that whatever the political decision will be, the court will support it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, I think it's unclear whether this imprisoning him based on this 2014 case, you know, this case where in which he received a suspended sentence, which has now been served in full, you know, whether it is even legal, as you're saying, in Russian law, under Russian law, to now have this question arise and have a new possibility that he could be imprisoned for years in connection with this case. And it sounds like this is sort of one of the levers or one of the options the state, the Kremlin, is giving themselves, you know, as you say. And the decision, I think analysts agree, would be based on a political decision by Putin, essentially. You know, another option that they've given themselves is this these new allegations. I don't think Navalny's formally charged yet, but there's a criminal case alleging that he and associates essentially stole funds that were given to them, you know, for their anti-corruption foundation. So, you know, that's another lever, another option that the Kremlin has given itself in terms of prosecuting Navalny now that he's returned. You know, and I think we'll see. You know, and obviously this process has gotten off to a start that many people see as dubious, with this hearing in the police station. Unclear whether even that, you know, first stage is legal under Russian law. It's as you said, you know, it's hard to predict what will happen. One thing I would just also add at the end is, you mentioned, you know, he was not imprisoned in the in this Yves Rocher case. He was also not imprisoned. Eventually received a suspended sentence in the other trial in which he was found guilty of financial crimes that he denies and says were fabricated. So in the past, Navalny has been jailed, sent to lockups for periods of days, weeks, up to, I think, a couple months, many times, more than, I think, 200 nights he spent in jail, mostly connected with protests. But he's never been imprisoned, like, for a long period of time, for years, you know, sort of like Mikhail Khodorkovsky was, for 10 years in prison. So, you know, if that does happen, I think the expectation is that it will, you know, that alone kind of marks a big shift in the way the state is handling Alexei Navalny. All right. We're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Irina, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
Okay, I'll be back next Monday for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out for my Week in Russia newsletter on Friday. Thanks for listening.